welcome to another episode of the Danny Morrell Show. I think if you're watching us on video, you can already see that this is definitely a different show because I'm interviewing somebody, and I'm interviewing somebody who, to me, is a very special friend. If you've ever thought about, or if you've ever sensed that in your life there was the capacity to transform or the capacity to become more, I think that today's episode is going to be an encouragement for you and also an example to you of what's really possible when you go deep within your heart to fix some of the underlying issues that all of us as human beings deal with, whether we realize it or not. And so I want to introduce my great friend, Roshi. Roshi, say hello.
Hi.
Roshi is right now in where? You're in Stockholm,
I'm
Sweden.
I'm in Sweden. Right? Yes, Stockholm.
So she's in Sweden, and you're of Iranian descent. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. And I say all of these things because it's just so awesome, the fact that like this, you know, Hispanic California boy could meet this awesome individual. And we met in Costa Rica, which we were both at a One Heart Journey, correct?
Coming from two different parts of the world.
Completely different parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
And having an impact on each other's life, which is what I want to get into today. So how do you feel? You okay? You're hanging with me?
Yeah, I'm good. Yep. Okay. I'm with you.
Good. So I thought about sharing this on the podcast because for me, Roshi was or is a definite part of my life now. And our experience together, which we're going to share with you, I think not only helped her, but also helped me to see my purpose and what I'm really here to do. And there's a vision of us sitting on a bench that we're going to share with you in a second, but we were sitting on the bench and I thought to myself in that moment, oh my God, like I want everybody to hear this because I'm all about helping people to transform. And I have never experienced more of a transformation in my own life than through my journeys with ayahuasca, obviously, which many of you who listen to the show know about. And yet to see the transformation in Roshi's life is just absolutely, like, I can't not smile when I think about it because it's incredible. So I'll start with, I remember when we first met. You remember when we first met?
On the stairs.
We met on the stairs, yeah. Her and her sister were part of a group that had already arrived in Costa Rica, and my group was just kind of showing up. And we met there on the stairs. And I remember you told me later on that you felt like we had known each other or something along the lines.
I felt like I recognized you and it would have been impossible for me to have known you.
Okay. All right. Good. So, and that'll become important here a little bit later. So as we were going through our experience in Costa Rica, I noticed like a sadness in Roshi. Right. And I don't know what it is. I've always been able to kind of like notice people's states and notice their energy. And I remember like, I don't know, we were just drawn to each other. We just became friends. We started talking, whatever the case may be. And if you don't know anything about ayahuasca, essentially, there's three different ceremonies that you go through. Well, after the first ceremony, you know, we're in the room. And I remember like I looked up and I saw you, right? And I went to you and I remember that you were kind of like kneeling and you had just looked
I had my hands on my I had my hands around my head.
Right. You had your hands around your head and you just looked up and I think I was there and
yeah, you were there.
You just started bawling, crying.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And
you triggered me.
Yeah, what happened during that moment? Because I haven't even asked you that.
Because I was in a state and I didn't know what state I was in, but I saw you coming close to me and I saw you sort of like kneeling right in front of me, but my vision was a little blurry. So I could just about see that it was you. And I remember hearing your voice saying, "Are you okay? How are you, Roshi?" And I was just like, I'm not okay. Like, it's just not. And then our shaman came over, Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
And then he put his hand on my shoulder and he was like, "How are you, love?" And I was like, Tom. And then that's kind of when things kicked off for me and I just broke.
Right, right.
Like I just went to pieces. So you were in front of me when I broke down.
Right, right. Do you remember what you were feeling in that moment by any chance?
Panic.
Okay.
I was in an utter state of panic. I was confused. I was angry. I was frustrated with myself. I was disappointed. I was like, most of the negative feelings that a person can feel about themselves, those were the feelings that were going through me.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, she was obviously using that to help work on your heart.
Yeah. She showed me what the stuff that was going on in my head. Mm-hmm. The chaos, the panic, the wanting to have that control, the sense of lack of control and the panic that kind of came from that. Right. And I was trying to figure it out and she wasn't letting me.
Right, right. It's so interesting you bring that up because I remember my first journey ever. And I remember, you know, what I felt. And I remember my issue was a control issue as well. And she stripped me completely yep. of that control, right?
Yeah.
And I shared it with you guys in episodes past what happened to me. But I remember like being concerned for you, you know, as your friend, obviously. I remember being concerned for you. And that's why like I went over there and I wanted to see, you know, how was it type of deal. And to see you cry.
Yeah, because it was my absolute first Aya experience.
First time, right.
Yeah.
And to see you cry, for me was, I was okay. Like, cause I was like, okay, this is the work starting. I got it. Right. For you, you must've felt like, what the hell is going on now? Right.
Yeah. And I kept saying that. I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. What's happening. Right. I was just trying to control everything. I was trying to grasp onto whatever I could. And she was just not having any of it.
Mm. Fantastic. I love it. And I'm going to go ahead. And so that was that night. And then I, you know, went and checked on a couple of other people, whatever the case may be. And I remember the next morning, if you don't know, there's something called integration. Mm. And integration is a great time for everyone in the group or everyone in the tribe to come together. And we talk about our experiences and we talk about our journeys. There's a healing aspect to this when you are able to do this, because you're able to like get out whatever it is that you saw, whatever it is that you felt. Every journey is different, right? Sometimes you have a very emotional journey, like obviously Roshi had. Sometimes you quite honestly had a very, very scary journey like I had in my first time. Sometimes you have a freaking awesome journey, which we both did at the end, and we'll share with that a little bit later. Sometimes you have supernatural journeys, which I felt like I had 2 to 3 supernatural, yours being one of them, experiences this time around. And so I remember I happened to be sitting 2 people down from you at integration. And I remember looking.
Oh, were you?
I remember look, because your sister was right in between.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. And so, and I remember looking over at you as you were going to grab the mic. And I remember you said 2 or 3 words and then you started crying again.
Yeah. Can I just say like,
please,
from the ceremony, like the first ceremony, I did not stop crying until I took on that mic. Like I was nonstop crying.
Like all night?
Yeah, like I was after the thing where you came, when you were like in front of me and I started crying, I stayed in the room for a good hour crying. And then I left, I kind of like put myself together for a bit, started walking down the steps, and then I broke down again. And then I was trying to walk towards the kitchen to get something to eat, but I couldn't. I was just, I was sobbing.
Right.
And then I kind of think I passed out, woke up, passed out. Someone came and handed me some pineapple just so I would get some energy. And then I was like, I can't deal with this. So I walked to my room crying every step. I slept, woke up the following morning, straight away when I like got out of bed, I started crying.
The next day?
The next day, I was brushing my teeth, tears were still coming down my face. I put on my biggest sunglasses. I was walking to breakfast. I sat with my glasses and I was still crying.
Still crying.
And I remember like the conversation I was having during breakfast saying, I don't understand what's going on with me. I don't understand why I'm crying. And then all these negative things just started coming back. Mm-hmm. And they encouraged me to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's when
I was just so embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that word up because part of what, you know, Mother Ayahuasca does, quite frankly, is, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There's no force on this planet that will heal you and will expose the higher you, your true, authentic self, like she will.
Yep.
Would you agree?
100%. Like, there's no escaping.
There's no escaping. So you have to.
She will leave no stone unturned.
Yep. She makes you deal with the things that, and I say scary because it's scary to deal with your junk, your mess.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
she makes you face what you've been hiding from.
Exactly. She really does. I get emotional just thinking about it, just how incredible she really is because, you know, I in my life, I had been hiding behind materialism, success, you know, all of these things. Not that, you know, having nice things is bad or not that success or being successful is bad, but it was all a front. And it was a mask that I was wearing to not be hurt is what happened, you know? And so anyhow, I'm watching you and I'm watching your journey. And I know that there's three ceremonies. So I know that as tough as it is, I know I have faith in her, obviously, that she's by the third ceremony, you're going to be good. And then I remember after the integration, we were in the pool and we were talking. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember what I told you, but do you remember anything that I may have said or anything that we may have talked about?
You were like, there's a physical change. I can see a physical, and you're doing this with your hand. Like there's something different. There's a physical change to your face, to your being.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember at the time we actually started talking about, cause I, you know, as your friend, I care about you. I want to help you process what's happening. You know, in my eyes, I feel like you had no control over your emotions, which is exactly what you needed to feel in order to be healed or to grow. Yeah. But also I remember asking you like, you know, where else is control showing up in your life or what other circumstances do you feel, maybe, you know, control or, you know, relationship with other human beings or whatever the case may be, where else is this showing up in life? And do you remember us talking about that?
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing an example of like what you were starting to notice maybe, was going on that you didn't even consciously were aware of at the time?
Every single aspect of my life.
Everything.
Like for me, like a lot of things kind of fell into place during the integration after the first ceremony, mm-hmm. talking about what I had experienced and then obviously getting the feedback from everybody that was there. I kind of thought that I was an easygoing person, that I was chilled, that I wasn't that much of a control freak. And mm-hmm. I was so wrong. And that's really what she showed me, that I've been trying to maintain a very controlled lifestyle. And I haven't been allowing myself to fully be present, allow myself to be in moments or to be myself, mm-hmm. and that I was like, my heart was closed down. Mm. Like it was shut, closed. It was down for business. It was just, nothing was like happening in this department. Right. And I think that sort of became very clear to me Mm-hmm. And the fact that I've sort of been living for other people, mm-hmm. and so, not so being true to myself.
To yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that I was living for myself. Like,
right.
I thought that me trying to, cause I've been on this path for like the last two, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I'd been better at setting boundaries and being more aware of my needs and what I want and what my needs are.
Right.
But I was just not doing enough. I wasn't aware that I wasn't doing enough.
It's so funny. Like, I don't think human beings are even aware of what is even going on inside of them. Like, they haven't really learned to master what's truly going on in here.
Yeah. I was blocked off.
You totally, so was I. Mm-hmm. And Roshi, I remember telling you about personal power. Yeah. And I remember talking to you about the fact that you have personal power, and deep inside of you, there's another version of Roshi, right? And she is confident, and she's okay with letting go, and her relationships are better as a result of that. And I remember that. I remember this happened in the pool. Go ahead.
I remember you saying that, but I was like, what's he talking about? I didn't get it. Like, I had no, I don't, I was like, yeah, it sounds good, but what does he mean? Like, he doesn't know me. What's he like going on about? He just met me. Yeah. And I was trying to be like, and this is also one of the problems that I've had throughout my life. Mm-hmm. Just putting myself out there. But
a lot of people grow, just so you know. Okay.
A lot of people throughout my life, throughout my upbringing, they've always said that I'm this great person, that I have a great personality, I have a good heart, and like a lot of really nice things about me, but I didn't feel any of that. I was like, they're just saying it, or they're just trying to be nice, or they don't know me. They're just like thinking things about me. And then you kind of did the same thing, because you were like, you were kind of saying stuff. I don't remember it exactly, but you were kind of saying things like, I see you have this in you. I see that you're changing. You were like saying these big things to me. And I was still at that point, not in a state where I could take what you were saying. I didn't understand it. And I that's one of the things that I was like, I've been constantly rejecting things that people are saying to me. I don't believe it. They're lying. It's not true. That's not me.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
And I'm asking you because, again, you're going to help a lot of people through this, because we are all one, and whatever you're dealing with, someone else is also dealing with. But how would this show up in relationships? I love you, okay, but I would just a small example.
Yeah.
Small example.
Self-sabotage is probably an easy one, or ending relationships because I would think that it's not gonna go anywhere anyway, or that this guy is not gonna stick around. It was just relationships and a lot of bad dates, and where I would try to set boundaries, or where I was trying to be somewhat true to myself, I would be ghosted. So regardless of what I did, I would get hurt. And so I shut down even more. So I was like, okay, if I do this, I get ghosted. If I do that, it's just like, and I bumped into someone who said that your heart chakra is closed, or you just need to like break through. And I was like, what does that even mean? So I just kind of decided that I would just stay away from guys for a while.
Yeah.
And
this was prior to the journey.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
So I just decided that I would just not date for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of given up a little bit.
Kind of a lot. Yeah. And I just started playing with the idea that maybe I'm just not meant to have that kind of a relationship. Mm. And that I would be okay with it because I have great friends. I have like a lot of other things going for me. Mm-hmm. But just like going from one bad relationship to another, you kind of lose faith.
Yeah, totally. I get that. Can you now see how you were maybe even attracting the wrong relationships and the wrong people based on the story and the belief system that you had inside of you?
I would attract, or I would choose people that I knew would not stick around.
It's crazy, huh?
That, and I didn't understand, like, what do you mean attracting that kind of a person? Like, I don't know this about that person. It's only after a while that you get to know them and you figure things out. But like with ayahuasca and like with everything that you kind of learn, it sort of makes sense how the universe just works. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely been picking out or people have been attracted to me that sort of make me believe that, yeah, I'm not worthy, or I'm not going to meet someone anyway, or I know this is going to end, so I'll just go along with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The people that would be good and like genuinely nice people and that would care for me or want to be with me, I would just not give them the time of day. Exactly. I just wouldn't find anything. I wouldn't be attracted. There would just be nothing that I would even consider in terms of having like a romantic relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. I get you. Interesting the way it works, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't completely figured it out yet.
No. I understand.
I think a part of that is also like, I don't know, like a maybe maternal or the type of person that I am, that like, I think a lot of women, they want to fix guys. And maybe that's also been a part where you might meet people that are like unavailable, or you think like, oh, they might come around, or mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe that's a part of it. But for me, it was important to realize that I'm worthy of having like a real relationship. There's nothing wrong with me.
Sure.
And just like, I don't know, just coming around to that thought and choosing people that are not good for me.
I got you. Yeah. I remember as the days went by, after the second journey, or the second ceremony, you started to smile a little bit more. And I vividly remember seeing you. And I was like, hey, there's that smile. Because the first day you were just crying the entire time. And even before that, Roshi, I remember like, there wasn't a smile on your face. Like even before you had even gone to one ceremony. And I think that's what like attracted me to you. Like I felt that energy and I felt something was off. So I vividly remember this by the end of the second journey, I was like, hey, there it is. There's that smile, right? Do you remember what happened in the second journey that maybe turned things around for you?
It was very calm. Like she calm. Knocked me around during the first one. Mm-hmm. And you know how they said, like, if you had a rough journey, she will be easy on you.
Right. On the next one.
Around. Yeah. Right. So she was really easy. And like, I was chilling. I was just, gotcha. I think she was just letting me catch my breath.
Right.
But it was after the end of the second ceremony that I had a breakthrough with my sister.
So tell us about that. Or not. It's okay. I mean, whatever.
No, but like my sister had, she had a rough journey. And the first journey they had placed us separately in the room. And then the second ceremony, they placed us next to each other. Mm-hmm. And I remember going up to the shaman and saying, hey, like, have you given this a lot of thought? I'm not sure this is a good idea. Like,
yeah.
I don't want her energy. I think maybe it's best if we're like apart. And right. He was like, it's all thought of. Go with it. Just there's a plan.
Trust.
And I was like, okay, fine. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
So it turns out that us being next to each other was exactly where we needed to be. Because what she experienced during her journey led us to really repair our relationship. I'd say going 30 years back.
Wow. Wow.
Like from when she was born, essentially.
Wow. How beautiful she is, that not only is she healing you, but she's also healing the relationship with the people you love, you know?
Yeah.
And you guys laid there and talked for like a long
4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours.
We cried, we laughed, we talked. I did a lot of talking.
You had some stuff to get off your chest.
Yeah, like 25 years of stuff. So it was really good.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like in my second journey, I didn't have that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But did at the end, it's all perfect. It's all perfect.
Like for me, the first and second ceremony, like that's when things happened for me. I didn't,
right.
Like during the actual ceremonies, it was just like weird. I was seeing things. I wasn't understanding things. Mm-hmm. And then I got knocked around when he was like, ding, ceremony is closed. That's when it kind of hit me.
Right. Okay. So now there's healing going on. And I remember, you know, my second ceremony, my first time, I remember the same thing. I remember she let me chill, but it was by choice because I was still so scared from the first one that I only took one cup and I had my watch on to see how it would last. And I had like a backup plan to cut it if I didn't feel good again. So I was back in control. But in hindsight, she let me do that because I needed to see a full ceremony and see that I was safe, that I was around good people. Like I needed that for my heart, you know?
Yeah.
And then the third ceremony happens. And I think that's where like our magic happened.
Yeah. You know? I just remembered something about the second ceremony, like something that I realized after and that just came to me now is that during the second ceremony, I was so tired. I was extremely tired. And I remember saying, I am so tired. I'm sick of being tired. And I've been really tired in my life. Like my last couple of years, I've been like, my mom has been joking about me being chronically tired. And it's from the control, from burdening myself, from carrying a lot of other people's
weight, right?
Yeah. So I was extremely tired for the second ceremony. And I remembered saying to the shaman, like, I'm scared I'm going to fall asleep. And he said, if you fall asleep, that's fine. Your journey is still going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of relaxed with that.
Good. Good.
So I just allowed it.
Yeah. I remember my second ceremony, she was healing my heart. Some areas in my heart that I needed healing with. And I remember that because I kept tapping my heart uncontrollably. Like I think I did this for like 30 minutes. If you're watching and if you're wondering, you know what's happening.
Complete control.
Yeah, you're in control, but your body is doing things that you're like, you know, obviously like, how the hell is this happening? It's because she's healing you, you know? And so I remember I laid there and I was just doing this and she was working on my heart. Then the third ceremony happens. And I remember feeling excited for you because I was like, okay, if it was anything like my journey, this is the one that's going to be awesome. And I don't know if I told you or somebody, but I was just so excited about the third one because the third one is during the day and it's really like a celebration, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and to this day, I will tell you right now, that was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that third ceremony to me was the happiest, greatest day of my life. It was something about being in that room. And I remember nobody wanted to leave. It was
one more cup.
One more. I remember cup. We started shouting, one more cup, one more. And I remember, you know, what's so funny, Roshi, is I remember on the first day, you know, because you're obviously, you know, you're in the spirit world. I remember, you know, and I was scared the first day because the first day was a little rough for me. I remember thinking like when they called out for the second cup, I thought like, who the fuck would want to take more of this? Right? And then on the third ceremony, I'm just like, I was the one that was, I was like, one more cup.
You didn't want it to end.
And if you're watching, I can't put it into words. It's the most beautiful experience you can imagine when you are working on your heart with in a room of 40 other people. They all love. The word just came out of my, the word, they love you, they support you, they want the best for you. There's nothing like it on this planet. There's nothing like it. During the ceremony, I'm just like having a blast. I'm writing stuff down. I'm getting my own downloads, my messages. There's things that are happening. And I remember like you were right there. You were over there. And I will, I'll never forget this for as long as I live. I really won't. Because for me, it was so powerful, you know. I remember watching you. And I remember you were on your knees and you were holding your heart, you know. And there was this song that came on that maybe we can provide a link or something like that. But there was a song that came on that it says, I am the left, I am the right, I am the day, I am the night. It's such an affirmative song. And you were holding your heart, Roshi, and this is, I feel like I can do it exactly the way you were doing it, but you were literally like this. And you were just that. You were just like accepting it all. Like you were like saying like, yes, I am, you know? And I was just there watching you. And I remember, you know, your eyes were completely closed. And I was like, yes. Yeah, I was just like so excited for you, you know? And I was like cheering you on basically, but you know, you're across the room from me, but in other words, you're part of my journey because I'm watching you transform. And that was the moment where you were transforming, you know? And I remember thinking, I have to remember this song for her. I have to remember this song for her. Right. Cause these songs that are playing, they're just such a part of the experience.
So magical.
Oh my God. It's almost as if the songs trigger what you have to go through, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so then Roshi opens her eyes and I'll never forget this. You open your eyes. You go like this.
I opened my eyes at the end of the ceremony.
Uh-huh.
I had my eyes closed throughout the whole thing.
Right. Well, at the end of that song.
That was I only opened it at the very end when the ceremony was completely over.
Yeah, I remember. You never opened. I just remember watching you for like 45 minutes.
I only opened my eyes when he said that the ceremony was over.
Okay.
And then I opened my eyes and
I don't know if you know this, but here's what, because I was watching you. So here's exactly what you did. You open your eyes and I'm over there. I'm over there, right? And you go like this. And you go one by one and you look at everybody And then we lock eyes. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then we lock eyes and I was like, yes.
And what did I do? Do you remember what I did to you?
You got up. I just remember we got up and we like practically.
I was like this first.
Yes, yes.
Like, you were there. You were there.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear any of that. But we're in the room, guys. It was just freaking magic. We're in the room. I just remember when she finally saw me, you're right. I think you were going like this. And I was going like this to you.
Yes.
And then we just came to each other and we like hugged.
Magnets. I flew to you.
Right. I feel like I flew to you too. Right.
Yeah.
And anyhow, I remember telling you, come outside, like, let's go talk. And we went outside and we sat on this bench, which like that bench was magic.
Yeah.
And then that's when you were saying where you were. So share what happened?
So my third journey, my last journey was like the complete opposite of the first one. It was light. It was happy. It was love. It was beauty in all of its essence. It's mm-hmm. me seeing myself. It's very weird to talk about, but I saw myself. I was holding my face in my own two hands and I was looking at myself and I saw myself in a new light and I was like, wow, like yeah. you're beautiful. You're like perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was just like hearing things that people have said to me over the years, like you're this or you're that. And the things that I've always been like, oh, they're just making things up and it's not real.
Oh my God,
real.
What a perfect song. What a perfect song.
And then I was like, but they're right. I was like, they've been right all along. I just haven't seen it. Oh right. my God, I am perfect just the way I am. I don't need anything else. I am good enough.
Yes.
I am everything that I need to be. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a lot of different things that went through my mind and through my body. And at one point during the ceremony, I kind of looked down and there was this light that burst through my chest. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like my heart burst open with light. And I was feeling light. And I don't know if you remember this, but I was dancing during my third ceremony. I was sitting, but I was like, I felt like I was floating and like I know my arms were going everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like all this weight had been lifted off me. Mm. I remember walking and I had chains on my feet and I've been having problems for the past year with like inflammation in both of my feet. And then looking down, I had chains in exactly those places.
You saw this during the ceremony?
Yeah, and I took my chains off.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm good now. I'm over this now. I'm ready to let this go. And it was like these shackles around my feet. And I opened them and I left them behind me. And like with every step I was taking, I was lighter and lighter. And eventually I was floating. Mm. And like I've been having pains around my body, like my shoulders, I've been having excruciating amount of pain and like other parts. And I felt that evaporating.
Wow.
Like I felt it coming out of my shoulders. And I was like, I saw this weight and I was like taking off the weight. And I was like, this isn't mine. And I was just taking it off and I was getting lighter and lighter. And then I saw the things that people have said sort of like coming back to me. And I was just like, I believe you. I see it now. I see, or like my mom was very vivid. She was like, I've always told you this. You've never believed me. Mm. And my nickname is Roshi, but my full name is Roshanak, which in Persian means brightness.
I remember you told me that on the bench.
Yeah. And so like there was just light everywhere. It was like just this brightness. And then suddenly I was like, I get it. I was overcome by this amount of knowledge. And I just felt like I know everything. And I remember telling you this, I was like, Danny, I'm the Oracle. I know everything. I get it. I get the universe. I understand pain. I understand love. And yeah. It was just this overwhelming sense of, oh my God, I know everything.
Right.
And like one of the main feelings that I had in my first journey was that I felt so stupid.
Mm.
I felt like I don't understand anything. Like, I'm doing everything wrong. And then this one was the complete opposite, that I'm doing everything right. I know everything. And oh my God, is this what happiness feels like? Why have I not been feeling this? And wow, this is what it feels like to love, like a profound sense of love.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting on that bench and just, I was just telling you, and you were like, I know. And then I was like, Danny, you were there. I saw you in my journey. You were there. You were cheerleading me. You kept telling me, like, you got this. You got this. I believe in you. I see your change. And the way that you looked in my journey with my eyes closed is exactly the way you looked when I first opened my eyes. You were looking at me exactly the same way. And I had my eyes closed the whole time. I was just smiling. I was just happy. And then when I saw you in my journey, it was just so profound that I was like, shit, I know him.
Yeah.
He's been in my life before. Danny's not a new person to me. You've met him before. You know him in I don't know what sense of other alternative universe or karma, or call it what you want. But I remembered you.
Yeah, it was in our previous life.
Yeah, I remembered you. And it was just, it's like, I don't have the words to explain it. But you were familiar to me. You felt like home to me.
Mm.
And I was like, I was just bursting to tell you everything that I could. And I wish I would have had a recording.
I remember mentioning that. I wish I would have recorded it. Yeah.
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 But I mean, I know obviously I'm not the Oracle. And I know like a lot of these things.
Well, hold on. I think we all are. I think what happened, Roshi, is that it's very difficult because this is like what I work for is, and it was even before ayahuasca, I just maybe was doing it from a different energy, but I think it's very difficult for you to understand even something like how smart you really are as a human being. You're constantly weighed down with so many wounds that you have from when you were younger, you know? And I think that that's what you felt in that moment. And yeah, you are the Oracle.
Something being lifted off me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how you said, like, it was just something that was just clouding you.
Yeah.
I felt that being lifted off me. Cause I remember like, you know, like people take pictures of you. I always felt like I'm smiling, but it's not genuine. Like that's not my genuine smile.
Mm.
And then smiling genuinely during the third ceremony, I was like, wow. Like I was smiling so much, like it was hurting the back of my head.
It was hurting right here. It was hurting me.
It was just like, I was like, wow, this is what it feels like. Oh my God, I've been faking it all these years. That's never been real. And just, I don't know, but just, I think for me, that third one was, I am good enough. I am perfect just the way I am. I don't have to be anything else.
Yeah.
And I just have to be.
Yeah. That's it. And for me during all of that, because I remember we were on the bench and we were looking at each other like, we were like, right here. And I was just like this, like smiling.
Yeah.
And you were smiling and
we were laughing, crying.
We were hugging, kissing, the whole thing, right? And I just remember just feeling so like, I don't know, there was like a kindness. There was like a,
it was love.
It was love is what it was. It was love. And I want to make sure everybody understands, like, there's no weird
platonic.
No, it was just like loving your sister, like like your best friend. I can't even explain it. The kind of love that I felt in that moment.
I mean, for me, it was like a platonic soulmate. Like that's how I would describe it. Yeah. Like I loved you so much in that moment. And I remember telling you, like, Danny, you saw me.
Yeah. That's what changed my life.
Yeah. I was like, Danny, you saw me before I saw myself. You told me in the pool, you were in my journey. Like you've seen it all along. I was like, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for seeing me. And I had so much love for you. And the fact that like, we are in this world, we're new to each other.
Sure.
And for me to be like, wow, he saw that in me. And you were like, you were rooting for me. Even in my journey, you were like, you got this, you go girl. And like, you were there, like every step of the way for at least 40 minutes. You were in my journey. And then to like have that moment with you on the bench and to be like, oh my God, I love you so much. This is so cool. And like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And like, I love you. And for a person that hasn't really been feeling love in that way, that was really deep for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was deep for me too. It's like she used you to confirm to me like my life's purpose almost, that I can see in people greatness and that I can be a part of their journey somehow.
You lift people.
Well, I don't know. I just want you to know that she definitely used like our experience and you in particular to help show me that what I do is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it might morph, it might change. I'm obviously way less, you know, I don't want to call it success driven, but I guess ego driven. And I'm coming more from the heart now than ever before. But it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to experience something. I mean, I think it was supernatural, quite frankly. For me to be looking at you, for you not to see me, but for me to be in your journey, which people may not understand for 40 minutes, but people may not understand what that you can't understand unless you've done ayahuasca. It was special. It was special.
Nobody else in the room had that kind of a journey, Danny.
No, I know.
I asked people, I was like, is this normal? Like, do people come into each other's journeys like this? And they were like, no, that's pretty awesome. And I was like,
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. All right, so I'm gonna close with this. You know, I remember feeling so incredible after my first journey, and I remember I wanted to share with the world, but I was afraid. And I was afraid because, you know, for some people, they might think that ayahuasca is weird or whatever. If you're listening right now, I hope you can genuinely feel, and I'm sure you had to have felt, and you had to have shed a tear, or you had to have felt something, because this was like two human beings sharing their hearts with each other and with you. I just want to ask you, would you do it again? And would you recommend other people to maybe find Mother Ayahuasca and see what she can do for them?
I mean, I would say that when you're ready, Aya will present herself to you. Like this ceremony, Aya, it found me. Like I've been searching for the right context, but this definitely found me, and One Heart found me. I understand now when our shaman Tom said that this isn't a drug. I genuinely believe that this is plant medicine. This heals people in a profound way. Yeah. And I'm like, this should be accessible to everyone.
Everyone.
And it should be like something that people do to become better people or to heal themselves or to like go through traumas or whatever. but heck yeah, I would do it again. Like I'm actually looking at doing it again in April.
Oh, I'm
with
there.
My sister.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But I genuinely wish that this would be like legalized, because this heals people.
It can't be legalized because that's not what the Matrix allows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want people healed.
So. No.
And I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm gonna leave it at that right there. And I'm gonna leave you with a quote that our shaman, Tom, his mentor was a guy named Stuart Wilde. And I'm gonna leave you with a quote from Stuart Wilde, and he says, "You've got to understand that everything that you believe is not true." It's not true. The only thing that makes it true is that you believe it.
Yeah.
And once you get to that place where you understand that the only thing that makes something true is your belief in it, well, then you can finally come from a place of internal dialogue and ask yourself what beliefs are serving you and what beliefs are not. Because obviously, in this instance, Roshi had some beliefs about herself that weren't serving her, and she didn't even realize how to get past them. And you know,
didn't even realize they were there.
Didn't even realize they were there. Just like I didn't even realize they were there as well. So, thank you.
Thank you.